Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's a traditional way where you wait for weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, Simply Safe. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection, the 2-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Award. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry motion glass break sensors guard inside. You barely notice it's there, but what's truly remarkable is you can set up the system all by yourself. Anyone can do it. Takes 3 minutes, maybe to an hour tops. And there's absolutely no trails for your safety. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice, 24/7. It's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. Go to simplysafe.com/team today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now. Be sure to go to simplysafe.com/team. That's simplysafe.com/team. All right, guys. Welcome into another Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Walt Harris, your host. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Hashtag take a seat. It's 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning. I'm got 7 hours left of my on call for what I'm doing. It's been pretty slow for the most part, and which didn't surprise me. On Friday, we got called into an all hands meeting of all of our analysts from all across the United States, all territories, and basically we're being told to take 3 days of PTO. And I guess it's mandatory, and that pretty much upper management, all the executives are taking pay cuts, and this goes into effect until. Sorry, I lost my train of thought because my kids walked in after 2 minutes after recording this, starting this. But all right, back to what I was supposed to talk about. It's in effect till June 30th, and eventually this stuff was going to happen. But the patient volume has been freaking non-existent because a lot of, procedures and stuff like that were either canceled or rescheduled. But now this week, they're going to start to reopen things up because the governor is going to reopen Texas. And there's going to be more stuff in terms of the hospital. So we're going to see more patient volume. And now they want the projects that we had that were on hold to go forward. Mainly because they're losing money on them and they can't afford to lose anymore. But, regardless, I'm going to keep my ass at home because that's just where I need to be at this point. I would love to be in the office, but, it's going to have to wait. I know I'm seeing now what people are protesting. They're upset. They're pissed off. There's people that need to get back to work because they may not have any revenue coming in. And hey, I know what that's like. I've been there. Some have businesses and they're falling apart because no revenue. We had in terms of Pitt fans, we had a harsh reality hit us over the weekend. The O closed. I wasn't really entirely surprised when I saw it was closed. I figured, you know, before I even read any articles, I put two and two together. I figured the O probably wasn't doing too good up until Corona, and it wasn't. I mean, I read that they were scaling back. They scaled back their hours because they're just people really wasn't go. They weren't going there anymore as much. And it's mostly a college hangout, and you know, sometimes we go back for nostalgia. I mean, when I worked at Children's Hospital in Oakland, I used to go to the O for lunch at times. You know, it was either that or Uncle Sam's I'd go to, usually. I tried to do Uncle Sam's at least once a week when I was there. You know, when I was full-time, I was a bachelor making a lot of money. I guess, because, you know, back then, I guess, you know, around 40 grand was a lot for a single guy like myself. And yeah, it was easy to eat out. You know, one day it's Five Guys, burgers and fries. One, it's the O, then it's Uncle Sam's. But of course, all those calories and stuff add up. And of course, you gain a lot of weight and, you know, hey, you become a fat ass. You know, it happens. But as far as the O goes, I mean, I have a lot of memories there. I mean, I think my first time I went there, I was a senior in high school. We went to the O. It was late at night, probably after the mall closed. And, you know, I drove down and from my friends. And one thing I thought about about Oakland is that, oh, there's so many one-way streets that when I turned to, I guess, park at the O, I went up a one-way street. And I just remember, like, there was also a second floor at the O. There was, like, a bar upstairs. We would always go and get our food and go upstairs because it was quieter and less people were there. I mean, there'd be a few guys at the bar, but it was empty. And, you know, one of my friends worked at the O. And I just remember one night when some of my friends, they were going to the O, and they said, hey, we're going to the O, so-and-so is working tonight. And they're like, okay, yeah, what's going on? And he goes, well, he hooks us up with free food. And we're like, okay. So we get there, and he didn't just give them, like, fries. I mean, they had freaking hot dogs. I mean, he hooked them up with a whole bunch of, like, a smorgasbord. And I guess the problem is with the O, when you print out receipts, it prints out a copy of the receipt. So he was charging them like fries and a drink. And so obviously, you know, the owners caught on to what he was doing. And yeah, he got caught and got fired that night. And it was funny because, you know, when I got to Pittsburgh for my friend's funeral, we all ate at Minio's. We talked about that night. we're like, yeah, you were bragging about all this money you were making work at the O. And I was like, and then you were hooking everybody up with everything. And he even said himself that he got too carried away with what he was doing and trying to get everybody all this free stuff and not worrying about keeping a job. But then, the O, you know, they had a place in the South Side as well. And I remember after drinking in the South Side, we'd go there to eat. I mean, we would, one thing I can say about the O is in the South Side is where, you know, one of my friends, he met his wife, what would be his wife at the O. That night, we took somebody out to the South Side because his girlfriend broke up with him and he was a single guy now for about a week, and we took him out and he was down in Long Island iced teas like they were water, and he was drunk at the bar and he was singing heavy metal songs out loud. He was singing Harvey Danger, you know, that Flagpole Sitter song. I mean, he eventually got kicked out of the bar, so we took him to the O. And eventually, you know, the Long Islands, they came and they talked to him again, and he was vomiting. in the bathroom. And then he, we sat down to eat at the O, and he just disappeared. And I went to go look for him. We all did. I mean, he was in the bathroom, so I opened the janitor's closet. He was in the janitor's closet pissing in the bucket. And so all my buddies took him home. So then there was me and my other buddy who was, you know, every time we went to the freaking O, he would always order the pizza. I don't know what his, he loved pizza. And I don't know what his obsession was with ordering pizza at the O. It didn't matter if he was in Oakland, the Oakland O or the Southside O, he always ordered a freaking pizza. And no matter where he went, it didn't matter if it was the O, it was always a pizza. He was obsessed with it. Well, me and him had this whole pizza, and there was these three girls at the other table, and he offered them some of the his, some of the pizza. And I was like, and looking back at this, I'm shell-shocked at this, because it was out of character for him to do something like this, to be out going to some girls and to offer him his food. And yeah, I mean, you know, there was me and him, and there was three girls. He lucked out. You know, I just, you know, I'm the guy who pretty much becomes the third wheel at that point. But they got married, and they've been married since. I mean, that's one memory I can tell you about the O. I mean, two memories. My friend getting fired when he was working there. My other friend being his wife there in the South Side one. But, I mean, I'm sure things have changed in Oakland as far as food and stuff like that. So, I mean, you got, like, the Chipotle still there. I mean, I'm sure Five Guys are still there. That's the other thing is Five Guys is, like, right next to the O. And it's, like, they give you tons of fries like the O does. But you can get a burger, a really good burger. Not everybody wants a hot dog. Personally, now these days, I'd rather just eat a dog from the O, the Five Guys. If I'm being totally honest with you, a hot dog and fries from the O and a drink is probably a lot cheaper than burger, fries, and a drink from Five Guys. Pretty much with Five Guys, you need financing now these days just to get a freaking, you know, a freaking meal now. I think last time I was ever there, I spent maybe $15 on a, you know, on a burger and fries and the drink. It used to be less than 10. Now it's like freaking almost 15. And it's like, for that much, I can go somewhere else and get a better burger somewhere else for this, either the same price or cheaper. I don't know, guys. I'm drinking my water. But, I mean, yeah, these are some realities that are hitting us with this, you know, with COVID. I mean, you know, for me, for instance, it's starting to hit my backyard now, and it just is what it is. I mean, initially I thought my salary was getting cut. You know, if it was, it was. I was just happy at that point to still have a job. But I know there's some people that are still, you know, they're not really working, and, you know, they're restless. But, you know, when I saw these protests, I mean, a lot of these people, they weren't even, it wasn't about going back to work. It was about them getting their freaking hair done, their hair cut. Or some were on when they wanted a goddamn big gulp. I mean, you can get a fucking big gulp, but now if you wanted to. I mean, sure, you can't sit down, or maybe you want your sweet tea. I mean, they have, you can get sweet tea anywhere. Shit. You don't have to sit down at a restaurant to order a fucking sweet tea. You know, with your meal. I mean, I don't know. It just, I don't get it. But let's move on to more uplifting topics and not talk about, you know, all that other stuff, because it's just a whole thing of negativity. I mean, our news feeds are becoming dominated with politics and religion and whatnot. And it's just, you know, that's one thing you say about the Michael Jordan documentary that ESPN's releasing. You know, has brought out, I mean, what's great about social media as well is people talk about so much, like a television show or a documentary or a movie, that you really don't even have to go and watch it. You can just freaking let them, they'll talk about on Twitter the entire time, and you already know what they're going to say, and then they'll post all the clips from it too. So it's like, I had to watch the Jordan documentary the other night. I can, you know, I could just chill and refresh the feed. I really didn't have much. I mean, for me, playing basketball when I was in grade school, I mean, you know, Michael Jordan's my favorite player. I mean, he's one of the Dazzling Dunks basketball bloopers was what really got me into basketball. I mean, I watching Jordan, watching Dominique, Spud Webb, Dr. J, I mean, Hakeem, Charles Barkley, watching all those guys in that video and stuff like that. I got to know the players, and yeah, I mean, I got into basketball that way, and I really didn't, you know, by the time I got into it, it was at the tail end of Larry Bird's career. I mean, he was breaking down, so I really didn't care that much for Larry Bird. I just thought he was just some unathletic dude who could just shoot threes, and he was obviously more than that. Looking at his highlights, it's just, I call him at the end of his, you know, his run. But, you know, of course, you know, there was the Bad Boy Pistons. I mean, watching all those years, I mean, I really didn't have to really watch the documentary too much because, you know, it's like the ending of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know, where he doesn't want to stay for the movie, and Dottie asks, why don't you want to stay for the movie? And Pee-wee's like, I lived it. All right, let's take a minute to talk about LinkedIn. When it's time to hire, I know the finding the right person for your company can be challenging. This is especially true in small business where every employee truly impacts the organization. So when you are ready to find that next hire, LinkedIn can help. It matches your role with qualified candidates so you can find the right person quickly. It has an active community of professionals with 675 million members worldwide. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for so you can hire the right person faster. So if you want to find my person, go to linkedin.com/team and get the first $50 off your post. Yeah, I bungled this, but oh well. Just go to linkedin.com/team and get $50 off your first job post. All right, yeah, I bungled the hell out of that live battery, but whatever. You guys know the deal. I mean, if you want to look for a candidate, go to linkedin.com/team and, you know, do your thing. All right, let's get to some, you know, the Jordan thing happened. That, you know, and it's still going on. There's more good stuff. I was watching Waco on Netflix. Waco is about David Koresh, so I'm starting to watch that. I mean, the first episode, David Koresh is playing guitar. I mean, he's playing 80s music. I mean, I realized he was, you know, I don't know if they're trying to make him like a cool guy or what. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I DVR'd a whole bunch of movies, and I'm catching up on some things. But let's get to some other stuff here, guys. From 2010 to 2019, there were some pretty big stories in terms of Pitt Athletics. And I wrote them all down, and every time I wrote them all down, Windows updates would get pushed to my machine, and of course it would reboot and I would lose everything. So I jotted them all down. In fact, I'm not going to rank them. I'm going to rank them in tiers because, well, there's so many of them, and I know I'm not going to get all of them. But let's see. I have tier one, tier two, and tier three. Now, tier three is going to be, I have four stories from there. Tier three, there were top stories from Pitt Athletics in 2010 to 2019. First off, Pitt basketball goes 0-18 in the ACC. That was a big story. It's one I like to forget about. I mean, most of the stuff that's tier three that I have, I mean, it's all negative crap. I mean, the Butler game from 2000. From 2011 in the second round, where we, you know, Gil Brown was at the line, and we thought we had it wrapped up, and he bricked the, not so much bricked, it just went in and out of the hoop, and Nazir Robinson fouls the Butler player, and the Butler player shoots a bunch of free throws, and they win the game. You had that. And then, of course, you had the Mike Haywood hire, where he lasted for 2 weeks, and that was it. I mean, well, he got himself in a little domestic issue, and Pitt had to fire him. I mean, it didn't really matter if he was guilty or not, or what it was. It was just a horrible look, and there was no coming back from it. And I think Pitt, in the end, in the long run, made the right decision, because with social media, you have like a lot of the domestic violence issues. You had the Me Too movement that was coming up, and I think for Pitt, in the long term, it was probably the right decision to fire him. And of course, the last one I have for Tier 3, Pitt basketball wins the CBI title. That was the year after the Final Four, not the Final Four, but the Butler meltdown. Ken Birch would transfer out, and the whole team was, morale was just horribly bad that year, and supposedly Jamie Dixon had some personality conflicts with some of his players, especially his seniors. And that team just, they never really recovered. I mean, it was just bad all around. And that was the beginning and end of the Jamie Dixon era, pretty much. Because it was hard to come back from that. Now let's go to Tier 2 now. Tier 2. First off, I have Victory Heights. When Heather Light introduced Victory Heights as part of the facility upgrades for the Olympic sports, you know, volleyball is a particular one that's going to be upgraded. And it makes a lot of sense that it's getting upgraded. Track and field as well. I mean, there's the Olympic sports, which is the next subject in this Tier 2, it's been a big story for Pitt Athletics. Not so much women's volleyball, but you got soccer. Women's softball, they went to the NCAA tournament in 2015, and I think they even won a game. Or a series. I forget how they do that there. But, and, of course, you have men's wrestling. So there's a lot of feel-good things from the athletic sports. And, of course, you had the Clemson upset, where Pitt, upsets number one or number two Clemson at Clemson. I have that. You had the Pitt special, which is when Pitt beat South Florida on a Pitt special, play. And there's also WVU overtime win at the Peet, where they went several overtimes. And, I mean, West Virginia couldn't close out, and Pitt, it was an exciting game, I remember. And I think, kind of turned things around for Pitt's basketball season that year. You got the Miami upset. Now, the Miami upset, that was at the end of the 2017 season with Kenny Pickett. Was it 2017? Yeah, it was 2017. It's 2018 is when they won the ACC tournament, the ACC Coastal Division. But that was a big one. I almost put this in Tier 3, but the thing is, we're always going to talk about this Miami win because they were I think they were either 9-0 or 9-1. They were undefeated. I mean, either way, they were in the talk for the college football playoff, and Pitt broke them that game. And of course, Todd Graham is the final story I have for the Tier 2. We hired him because after the Mike Haywood mess, and he left at the drop of a dime. And pretty much, if there's one thing that really hurt Pitt, was these coaching changes. And I think that's pretty much was the beginning of the end of the Steve Peterson era. He gets rid of Dave Wannstedt. He brings in Haywood, who gets fired 2 weeks later. And he has to bring in Todd Graham. And so that recruiting class that Dave Wannstedt had pretty much was crippled. And then the next year, recruiting wasn't all that, it wasn't totally there. Todd Graham leaves. And so Paul Christ has to pretty much, he gets brought in. And, I mean, he did a good job of filling in the holes as best as he could for Pat Narduzzi. I mean, Pitt was up against so much at that point. I mean, it pretty much gave us the death penalty at that point for football. And pretty much once Paul Chris left, that was pretty much the end of Steve Peterson at Pitt. Because Nordenberg, as you know, retired. And, of course, it was the beginning of the end of the Jamie Dixon era, because once Peterson was fired and Nordenberg was gone, Jamie had one foot at the door if he didn't have it already. Because things at that point were starting to trend downward for Pitt basketball. So let's recap, you guys. In Tier 3, we have Pitt Hoops going 0-18 in the ACC. We have the Butler foul in the second round of the NCAA tournament. We got Mike Haywood getting fired maybe 1 or 2 weeks after he gets hired. The CBI title game. Tier 2, I have Victory Heights. I have the Olympic sports. The Clemson upset. The Pitt special. The whatever the multiple overtime game with West Virginia. The upset with Miami. And Todd Graham. I mean, I could talk about more about the Clemson upset, but I mean, we've rehashed that so many times on so many platforms, and it really doesn't need to be, you know, it was just a hell of a game. Now, let's go to Tier 1, you guys. Now, these are the biggest stories from 2010 and 2019 that I have. I'm sure there's a lot more stories that I could have went through, but these are ones off the top of my head. And you know what? I'm having a really hard time looking at these and figuring out which ones to start with first. Well, let's start with Jimmy Dixon leaves Pitt. We all know after the 2015-2016 season, you know, Pitt had Scott Barnes, and a lot of things changed. Pitt was putting more of its energy into the football program as well. I mean, things were trending downward for basketball. We lost some. You know, we lost the whole recruiting class, and recruiting just really fell off. And, you know, Jamie did whatever he could to piece it together, but we were in running for some big recruits as well. I mean, and they towards the end, they just fell apart. They went elsewhere. I mean, Mustafa Heron goes elsewhere. Maverick Rowland goes elsewhere. I mean, we lost all recruiting battles. So Jamie left. Went back to TCU, and, you know, looking back at that, it was probably a right decision for him, because things with Scott Barnes, well, Scott Barnes left months later after this happened. I mean, he brings in Kevin Stallings, and I think Jamie, if he probably stays, who knows what happens. I mean, I say he probably ends up, you know, not having a job if he sticks with Scott Barnes, but maybe he waits another year till Heather Light comes, and maybe Heather gives him what he needs to, you know, because, you know, Pitt Hoops needed a lot of upgrades. But what's done is done. Next one, Steve Peterson's fired. That was a big one. I mean, that was that year he brought back Pitt script. He brought back the old Pitt helmet decal, and that was like a desperation because things were going really bad, and I mean, I'll give him credit. I mean, without him, we're not in the ACC. We got in. He helped us out in that. And of course, when things were pretty bleak in the late 90s, he stepped up. I mean, he made some pretty unpopular choices, but I mean, tearing down Pitt Stadium was one of them, but you know what? If Heinz Field doesn't happen, with how fast college expansion went, we're probably not in the ACC. So it was in the long run, it was the right move. Let's see, Heather Lake is our new AD. I thought this was one of the biggest stories of this decade because, well, for one thing, Pitt went outside the box and hired a female to head their athletic department. And if anything, she's had more balls than some previous athletic directors we've had. You know, she wants to win. She's a winner. And she's not going to accept mediocrity. She's going to find the right people. Well, we hope. We'll see how some of these hires she may work out. But, you know, she hasn't put up any bullshit. I mean, obviously, you know, she didn't put up with Kevin Stallings, and that's why Stallings is, you know, on a gag order now. Let's look at some more here. I could probably add also Jeff Capel, because we hired a black coach for basketball. I could have added him as well, but I'm not sure if he's a, if it's a bit, I just didn't think it was a big story. I mean, it was big, but it just, I don't know. I couldn't, I think you could probably put Jeff Capel on the tier two. I wouldn't put Jeff Capel in the tier one, but he would be a tier two, you know, thing. Let's see what else. I also have my list. I actually have three left. These are all big ones. Let's start with James Conner. We all know what happened with James Conner. He was diagnosed with cancer. Well, he got it, well, before the season began, the 2015 season, he got, well, the first game he got hurt, but then he got diagnosed with cancer, and he battled back, and he was on the field the next year, and he got stronger as the season went. I mean, that was a huge story. His story was made national news. I mean, it's still a big story today because he's in the NFL. I mean, that was a definite big story. After that, I have Dave Wannstedt fired. And this was a huge one because the guy, when he was brought in the pit, he was a Pittsburgh guy. Spoke Yinzer, loved fish sandwiches. He pretty much, he was the total Yinzer stereotype. Loved fish sandwiches, loved the Permanis, loved the beer. And he spoke Yinzer. And he loved power football. I mean, he was pretty much the quintessential pit guy. And, you know, the first 3 years of his tenure was rough. I mean, year one, we lost to Ohio, you, and we finished 5-6. Next year, we start 6-1, then we lose the next five and don't even make a bowl game. We finished 6-6 that year. Year three, our starting quarterback gets hurt. Pat Bossy has to come in, and the only thing that saved that season was 13-9. Although we could have, we actually could have won more games. That team was a lot better than the record. And so then the next two seasons, we finished second place to Cincinnati. And we made the, you know, 2009 season, we dominated the All Big East selections, and we just still couldn't get past Cincinnati, and that was pretty much the end of it for Dave. I mean, his final season, he really didn't much saw a ground to stand on, despite getting a contract extension, and he wasn't getting along with his AD, and, well, I just remember being on the message boards, and people were saying Dave was in the office going and telling people, you know, wishing them well that he was leaving. And of course, he went on to the Diz press conference, and of course, it dragged on until the end, and he decided he wasn't going to coach in a bowl game. So we, you know, Phil Bennett ended up coaching. And Dave, obviously, you know, he had a lot of anger. I can say about how it is, and he bashed Steve Peterson in certain outlets. He was pretty excited when Steve was fired as well. So, yep. And the last one, Pitt goes to the ACC. When Expansion Apocalypse was happening, you had A&M going to SEC and Nebraska going to the Big 10. The Pac-10, you had Colorado, you know, bolting. I mean, the Big 12, we all thought the Big East was going to implode, but it turned out it was the Big 12 that was in danger of imploding, and it was about to get worse, but they somehow made it work, because basically what happened is the people in the Big 12 got tired of Texas. You know, they put in the Longhorn Network, in, which did nothing for that conference, just for Texas, and people just got fed up, and Nebraska had enough because, Nebraska, before it became the Big 12, they were the kings of the Big 8, and so when they brought in Texas, they had to up the academic standards in the conference, and what you had was Nebraska couldn't recruit the same players that was accustomed to, so competitively eventually fell behind Texas, and they just got sick of it, and they went to the Big Ten, and they They're in the Big Ten, and they've been miserable since because they can't do shit in the Big Ten either. You know, Colorado left as well. I mean, and when two of your original members of that conference leave, I mean, that's just a bad thing. And Texas A&M leaves. They go to the SEC, and I don't know. But, you know, the Big 12 is holding it together. I mean, they got TCU, and they brought in West Virginia. But when A&M left and Nebraska left, they needed some candidates, and Pitt turned out to be one of the leading candidates for the Big 12, for Big 12 expansion, which I found surprising, but it was legit. All of a sudden, when this was happening, you know, the ACC had a little expansion meeting, and I just remember, like, all these rumors were flying around on social media about who was leaving where, and I just remember there was an article about Pitt supposedly talking to the ACC, and I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll believe when I see it. But then the next day before, you know, that Iowa game that year, as the Iowa game was playing, Pitt was submitting their application to the ACC, and it was being accepted, and they were, all of a sudden, they remember, by the end of the Iowa game, although we lost that game because we had a, you know, we had a meltdown, you know, typical Todd Graham, but next thing you know, we were members of the ACC, and it's been great ever since. I mean, it's done a lot for our conference, done a lot for our programs as well, because we've had to upgrade our programs, the facilities, everything, because now we're in big boy athletics now. Whereas the Big East, it was just football and basketball. Now it's everything. Now we got to upgrade. It's not just football and basketball for the ACC. It's everything. Olympic sports, the whole shebang, and we got to keep up. And things have been great ever since. All right, guys, I'm done talking. Enjoy the rest of your week. Hold a pit. Stay positive. Exercise. Do what you can. Make a nice fresh batch of coffee. You know, eat some junk food, some comfort food, just something, man. You know, continue to, you know, watch movies. In short, just go fuck around for a while. Anyways, guys, hell to pit. Talk to you later.